want you to stay. Please walk away.
Walk away, walk away, Sunny.
That's the moral story.
That's the moral of the story. Don't Sunny.
Don't Sunny, bro. Don't Sunny,
dude. Alright, we're done. That's it. And no Sunny.
That's it. Anyway, we just.
Thank you for listening to Frick Flicks.
Thank you.
We're done for the night.
That was it. That's it.
No Sunny.
That's all you gotta say. No Sunny days. Yeah, so we just watched Xanadu.
Xanadu. From 1980s Xanadu.
Let's go. Featuring Olivia Newton-John, which she is just the best ever. Gene Kelly, which he's just...
Gene Kelly in his last film role.
Oh my gosh. And he is just so good in this movie. He shouldn't be this good, but he is because he's that good. And I can't even tell
poor,
you...
Poor Michael Brett Beck.
I'm glad Beck you knew his name because I had no idea what his name was.
I literally just looked it up.
You're so smart. Yep. No, he's garbage. He's garbage.
Ugh, I feel really bad. I mean, I don't know if he's actually garbage, but he's garbage in this movie. His character is absolute garbage.
I don't think they gave him enough motivation. I would say direction, because the rest of the movie has somewhat direction, because everybody else is kind of playing their part, but I feel like he was left out of everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, either he's like not a great actor, which he might not be, I don't know, I've never seen him in anything else,
he hasn't
been in a ton of things. Or the director just did not give him anything to work with, or both. It's hard to say, but his character is one of the worst characters in any media I've ever seen.
He is.
Just dead inside.
He has no personality, he has no vibe, he's got nothing. Mm-mm. He's just...
Nothing.
Like, staring at a wall for 5 hours is more entertaining than watching Sunny.
Basically, yeah. And he's the main love interest of this movie.
Yeah.
Gabe, do you want to go through, like, what the movie's about?
Sure, I'll go.
As much as we can.
Sure. So, Sonny is an artist, and he's a struggling artist, and he basically draws album covers on a large scale and paints them. And at the beginning of the movie, he's shown that he's trying to go solo and it's not doing very well, so he goes back to his original job of doing that. Blowing up album covers, and he's met with, you know, his groupies, you know, his people, two girls and one dude, and he's really funny. He's got big glasses and stuff like that. And so he essentially...
Better character.
Oh, he's a way better character. Not even close. So essentially, he's still not happy. No one likes him. They all joke about, like, hey, man, why are you back here? And he's like, well, I need money because I need to eat. And I'm like, it's kind of true. He's kind of skinny, so he might need to eat.
It was the 70s. Everyone was skinny.
Yeah. Well, it's a vibe. I like it. So, anyway, he's got this boss. And this boss, you know what? He's a mixed bag. Because part of it, you know, he's kind of a jerk a little bit. But at the same time, his expectations are quite reasonable. Paint was on the album cover. You know what I mean? And Sonny acts like that's a death sentence. So I don't really know what else to say on that part. So... that's kind of the beginning a little bit, and then there's a kind of nice dance number with a bunch of these girls who you learn are Zeus's daughters, and they go around just making dreams come true, essentially. So they come along and just kind of vibe, and it's kind of a fun number, I guess. I don't know, dancing, whatever, whatnot, in the glow. So Sunny's walking down the street, and Olivia Newton-John's character zooms by in her roller skates and gives him a kiss. Lord knows why. I don't think she knew what she was in for. And then Sonny smiles and walks away. And she goes flying off in the atmosphere or whatever. Then next thing you know, Sonny sees her on this album cover and goes, hey, that's the girl that I met who kissed me randomly, and no one cares.
yep.
No one cares what he has to say. And so later on, I'm kind of skipping. I might be missing something. Anyway, later on,
you just need the gist.
He gets the gist. You know, he finds Gene Kelly. Gene Kelly's playing his clarinet, and he's vibing out on the beach. And Gene Kelly's trying to inspire this man who has no inspiration in his bones. to essentially just be like, hey, you know, like, I love to do this, but I wish that, you know, I would have done more with my life, essentially. And so Sonny finds Olivia Newton-John's character again and tries to chase her. He steals a motorcycle.
Just a normal bike. It's not a motorcycle.
Well, it's kind of like a motorcycle. He pulls a Captain America, okay?
Well, he doesn't say, I think I'm going to be safe.
I think I'm going to be safe.
Even though he should have done, we all know that that works perfectly and is endorsed by our hero, Captain America.
That's right. Salute to Cap. Mm-hmm. So,
salute to Cap.
No Cap with Cap, bro. That's how it goes. So essentially, he goes and tries to find her. He's riding and just going like, hey, I think I found her. And she stopped by, gives him a little wink, and all of a sudden, plop, he goes right into the water and should have drowned. Should have drowned.
I wish. Better end of the movie.
Better end of the movie. He comes out, and Gene Kelly somehow zooms all the way there in the next, you know, 2 minutes or so, which he's just...
Yeah, Gene Kelly is amazing, because he's riding on a bike to keep up with Olivia mm-hmm. Newton-John on roller skates, mm-hmm. and Gene Kelly just, like, pokes his head the minute that Sonny falls in the water and is like, you do any other stunts, kid? And I'm like, do you run at lightning speed? Is that your superpower?
He does, bro. He does. He might be amused himself. He could literally just zoom. Just
boop. He's some kind of supernatural creature.
Yep. And so, anyway, all that to be said, I think the next part is when Gene Kelly's character brings Sonny over to his crib, which is elegant and amazing and big and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
And just talking about, oh, I was a businessman. I built a lot of things, but I'm one of my, you know, saddest moments was when I didn't pursue my artist career. So he's trying to be sympathetic to Sonny, which that's a feat and a half. I never tried that in my lifetime. And so there's a picture of Olivia Newton-John's character in this book. And Sonny's like, hey, I kind of know that girl. And Gene's like, well, I know that girl. And then one of the best parts of the movie is when Gene Kelly's reminiscing and Olivia Newton-John's character comes down off the stage and dances with Gene Kelly. And they have this really cute moment where they get back together again and just rock it. I mean, Gene Kelly's probably like 68 or close to 70.
I think he's around 68, yeah.
Yeah. And he's just did amazing and just danced that number awesomely for a guy his age, you know, and it was so cute. And they have way more chemistry than her and Sonny. I just spoilers.
Well, yeah, we will get to that.
And anyway, so that was a really cool moment. I just felt the moment, man. It was nice. It was just like, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Then remind me what happens after that. I was just kind of on cruise control after.
Yeah, well, I mean, basically after that, like, you know, Gene Kelly's character Danny would love to create another nightclub, because his nightclub, the last nightclub he had was back in 1945, which he left to go pursue other things. So, you know, Olivia Newton-John's character Kira decides that she's going to put together a roller skating rink / nightclub, and she ropes Sonny into it. And Sonny says, hey, I know a guy who's looking into building a nightclub. And Kira's like, hey, why don't you do it but with roller skating? Because she really loves roller skating for some reason. I don't know.
She does.
It's just the thing she's into.
Yeah.
Gene Kelly and Sonny buy the building after having a weird mix up. Kind of song that's better on the album between the what sort of the 70s imagine the 80s be like musically with the 40s kind of the 40s. They do a cool little mashup song, which is a really cool thing to look at, I guess, if you are interested in sort of risque type dancing and bondage, but you know, stuff like that. And they decide to buy the club and put it together as partners, and then, you know, Kira's in and out of Sonny's life, and they take Gene Kelly shopping for clothes at one point when they're building the new nightclub.
Drug trip.
And Sonny and Kira are supposed to be growing together romantically, but we don't believe it.
No.
Sonny quits his job, probably for the 18th time. It seems like people are kind of used to him flaking out on them.
Yeah, they're
and then
good with it.
Kira finally tells Sunny that, like, she can't fall in love with him because she's a muse, and then proves it to him through a series of Doctor Who-style past-to-present media that she got to inspire beforehand, just to prove a point.
You're right.
And then they both, she goes away, and he decides that he's going to crash into a mural that he finds of where it's her and her sisters, which we, the audience, know that they came out of. But he doesn't know that. For all he knows, it's just a picture of her. But he skates, roller skates full force into the wall and ends up going to, I guess, Mount Olympus, but it's more psychedelic. Or I guess, like, Technicolor RGB analog.
Right, right.
They've got all the lights on the ground, and tells Zeus that he wants Kira and him to be together because they're in love, which, again, no one believes.
No.
So Zeus understands that that doesn't make any sense, and so poofs him back to the mortal realm, where, and Kira sings a song about how her father should give them a chance to be a couple, which, again, no one believes. But he allows it, and they go to the opening night of the club, Xanadu, which is a roller skating rink. It's intense. It's very intense. And yep. She shows up with her sisters to sing a song. Multiple songs, including a weird Western country
It's moment. So out of place, man.
It's very out of place. And then she disappears along with her sisters. And Sunny's still feeling really down, which he said he wasn't going to come to this opening. So I'm very shocked that he's there. But apparently he got dragged out for it. And Gene Kelly says he needs to get over his girl and move on. But then who should appear as the waitress? But it's Kira, but she doesn't seem to know who he is. It just looks like her. It might be her. Who knows? And then they start to talk, and that's the end of the movie.
There you go.
Am I missing anything? I think that's it.
No. Maybe some finer details, but that's the gist of the movie right there. Bingo, bango,
that's pretty much the whole movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a musical, so there's a lot of, like, fun little bits, including an entire animated sequence done by Don Bluth in his fledgling animation studio right after they left Disney, so.
Wow.
Which is a cool sequence. Just look up Xanadu, Don't Walk Away, and watch that. It's better than the movie. Yeah. a lot of the songs are better than the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was all done by the Electric Lights Orchestra, which, if you haven't heard of them, then you should go listen to them. But especially this album, Xanadu, is top tier. Their music.
Every song slaps. Every song slaps.
Pretty much every song slaps. I would say probably my least favorite one is the opening.
Yeah, it's not too good. It's okay.
It's we had to believe we are magic. That one.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
It's fine. Yeah. But every other song slaps. I don't think he even wrote that one. I think that was whoever wrote for Olivia Newton-John wrote that one. But
oh, okay.
Jeff Lynne of ELO, all of his songs slap. Absolutely.
Oh, so good. I really haven't heard much of his music, and I'm quite surprised.
Dude, the guy did Mr. Blue Skies.
Oh, yeah.
Strange Magic. Don't Bring Me Down, which is like, you got me going out of my mind. You got me thinking I've been wasting my time. He's got Rock and Roll is King.
Dang. He's got a lot of good ones.
Yeah, I mean, quite a number of bangers. Anyway, go look him up if you don't know who he is. He's great.
That's so
everything
good.
For ELO is great.
That's so good.
It's all varying degrees of great, but there's some that obviously stand above others. But, you know.
Okay, the real question on this movie. Because we've established Sunny is just the worst.
A loser. Now, here's the thing about Sunny, right? So he's an artist,
mm-hmm.
which I mean, yeah, he's a good artist. You see him drawing at the opening, and he's very good. And throughout the movie, like, you can tell, like, he's a good artist, right? But he's really upset with the fact that he has to work for a living.
Yeah.
Which I don't think inherently is a bad concept, because I think what the movie is trying to say is that Sunny would prefer to be true to his art and not, like, work for a corporation, and instead of drawing what other people have drawn before, like, copying what other people have done, like, create something new and original.
Yeah.
But the problem is they pair that desire with the fact that he can't seem to do that, which is fair, because that's when you need a muse. But his character is so lackluster and without passion that that he just comes off as like a huge jerk, like a lazy, whiny jerk, doesn't he?
He does. He does. And I think another thing too is that like he has no self, like self-passion. Like you don't know what drives him to be this way. There's not enough explanation. So all you're kind of getting is, well, I just wish I had better. Because even when he gets his nightclub, he's still not satisfied. He just seems like an endless man who just takes and takes and takes. And he's just never satisfied. And that's weird because he's supposed to be an artist. But I just don't see him even getting better at those aspects, even as the movie goes on. He stays the same.
Well, he has no character arc.
No, he doesn't. He just gets his way. I mean, in essence, that's his character arc. Is he gets his way and he's sort of happy with it.
The problem is that this entire movie, right? Like the point of a muse in Greek mythology and in popular culture, like how we understand it today, is that a muse is supposed to inspire your dreams as an artist. But
he had nothing to do.
He seems to want to be a painter.
Yeah.
And Olivia Newton-John comes down and is like, hey, me and Danny want a roller rink. You want in on this?
Yeah.
But it's not really, like, his dream. Like, there's no point in the story where he, like, embraces it as his dream. His dream is Kira.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Toxic.
Just this woman that he's, like, barely known. Like, he has no other life goals. Like, at the beginning of the movie, you see him, like, he's quit his job and he's just trying to draw, I assume, to like get big by himself, and everything he draws he just tears up. Like, he hates it, which again is fair. Sometimes you run out of ideas, sometimes you're your own worst critic, whatever. So then he goes back to work because he's like, it's not working for me to like sell my own art because I hate everything I do, or whatever, I don't know. That's what it seems like.
Right.
You never get any explanation as to why he's failing as a starving artist. He just is, and you assume it's because he doesn't like his own work. I don't know. He goes back to work and immediately just starts getting really upset by the fact that his boss is telling him what to do, and his boss is like, hey, you're making changes to the art and it should look like it does on the cover. Like, stop making embellishments. That's not what we pay you for. And Sonny gets all mad at him for it. Like, I want to do my own art. And it's like, well, then do your own art. Don't work for somebody, you idiot.
Right, right. Because if he was any good at his art, one, he wouldn't tear it up, and two, he'd actually sell it. Because we don't even know. Like, they say he's good, but
and
yet...
And he is. He's demonstrably good in the movie.
Yeah, but you were right. I mean, it encompasses this whole problem of... Let's make the Olivia Newton-John's character my life. Can he not have success? Like, wouldn't Sonny's dream be like, Olivia Newton-John helped me create one of the most famous pictures ever? Like,
yeah,
that would be a success story, right?
But he doesn't for him, even, right? As an artist.
Yeah, because everybody gets their dream. I mean, Gene Kelly's the only one who gets his dream, which he deserves it. I mean, obviously, but...
He does. He's awesome.
But yeah, at the end of the day, like, you think about it, like, he won in this nightclub. Sonny
and
just...
And he got it.
He did, which is successful. But maybe that was explained. Maybe if both of them wanted that to happen. I mean, she does say that's what I wanted to happen, but I didn't end up... I didn't think I would fall in love with you, which is just... Completely just not
true. It's such nonsense. Come on, it's nonsense.
Yeah, right, right. And I'm so happy that Gene Kelly got his dream, but at the end of the day, I'm like, that's the one part that doesn't make any sense, because now Sonny is just still the miserable man who, I guess, gets her in the end, but is that really her? Because, like, we have a lot to talk about. Does she come back reincarnated? Like, I'm confused. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot there. There's a lot there. I think the implication is that Zeus basically is allowing her to live as a human woman for a human woman's lifespan. Like, he makes her mortal, and so she loses all of her memories and goes back down to Earth and, like, gets to hang out with Sonny and have, like, a relationship. And, you know, when her mortal self dies, she just goes back to being a muse again, I assume.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of how I'm interpreting it. I mean, there's a lot of ways I guess you could interpret it, but that's sort of what I think is implied by the movie.
Yeah. I would, no, I say that's dead on. I think that's really dead on.
Like, he's just giving her, like, a good 80 years to live as a human woman with the world's charisma vacuum, which seems like punishment more than anything else. But What do I know?
What do I know? All right, let's go off on Sunny a little bit. A little bit more.
Went off on Sunny. Let's go off more on Sunny. Everything he says has no emotion to it.
No. I don't know how that's possible. I can't even mimic it.
We're not dead enough. Somehow, okay? I want you to understand. Somehow, us, after 2020, are not dead enough inside to mimic this character. We still somehow have more life in us than who's supposed to be the male lead of this movie, this Hollywood movie.
It's just so hard. I'll try to do my best.
Explain that to me.
I don't know. I'll do my best to impersonate him. He's like, oh, man, I just hate everything. And
it's still too much emotion.
I know, it's too much. It's like, I wish I could paint art.
I think one of my favorite lines for this one is when he's like, dreams die.
Oh, he's so emo.
I'm like, emos cannot even get to the level of emo that you are.
He's like,
because he says it just without any kind of, and my only theory, mm-hmm, is that maybe, just maybe, the writer or the director or somebody on the staff was like, you know what? If an artist doesn't have a muse, then they're depressed.
Mm.
Okay. So, like, maybe this is, like, their attempt at trying to do depression, maybe? Like, it isn't, and it doesn't work, but it's my only explanation for why this character is so dead inside. That, like, nothing brings him joy. Like, even when he smiles at Olivia Newton-John smiling at him, he still looks so dead. Like, his eyes are dead, his face is dead, everything is dead.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he's got nothing. He's just got nothing inside.
There's a whole scene where he's yelling at the Greek god Zeus, who's like, hey man, you can't have one of my daughters, you loser. Like, they're only supposed to be there to inspire, like, dreams and stuff and make art happen. Right. And he's like, we love each other.
I love how Olivia Newton-John's like, oh god. Like, she just realized, like, I have to work with this bozo, this clown.
Oh, I have to do this. I have to be here for this reason.
It's just so hard because
it's the worst.
He's not the glue of the movie, but it's what's, he sucks the life out of such a movie with pop and pizzazz. It's just unbelievable. Like, I've never seen a guy self-sabotage a movie's energy as much as he has.
Well, it's rough, too, is, like, I mean, obviously, with credit to all the actors in this movie, the script is not great.
No.
Like, a lot of the lines that they need to say are very, like, not human-y. They're very, like, whatever. But, like, Gene Kelly somehow can elevate. Like, I think at one scene he has to say, like, but I remember her, like, 3 times.
Yeah.
Something like that. And it obviously, like, that's difficult to make sound good in anything. But he manages to put enough, like, of his professionalism and heart into it that, like, every scene that he's in, there is a sense of charisma. And, like, you believe him as a person somehow. And for Olivia Newton-John, she's not playing, like, a real person.
No.
So I think that helps. So, like, even though her lines are a little bit too childlike and too dreamlike and too just, like, fanciful, and like she answers a lot of questions with questions, that kind of works for her character. Like, it's not realistic, but like you don't expect it to be. But for poor Sunny, like, all of his lines are trash and he delivers them like trash.
I feel bad because anytime the other guys are with scenes like him, it almost feels like, come on dude, like, say it better please. Like, you know, it what I'm saying is, it's Sonny is so bad, it elevates them, both of them, Gene Kelly and Olivia, to step up their games to make this movie not a the complete and utter train wreck that it could
have
been.
Oh, you think that, like, his line reading, like, directly inspired them to try harder?
Oh, I guarantee you, like, I don't know how else you just look at that guy and not try to just save this movie from him. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same when he's, like, in the room with, like, his coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I don't know, they're trying their best. Again, the writing, it's not great. But, like, they're trying their best to make every line sound like a person said it. And especially the boss, who's, like, this over-the-top... he reminds me so much of, like, a less funny version of the first boss of the British IT crowd, like, that TV show. Where he's just, like, way too into his job and, like, way too, like, I did this because I worked really hard to get to this position and you should work really hard too and, like, what's wrong with you kind of a thing. Like, he's like a caricature, honestly. But, I mean, he's doing a better job than Sonny, who just can't... They're supposed to have, like, a banter relationship where the boss will say something and Sonny will be, like, have, like, a quick-fire, like, response back. And it never works. It always sounds like Sonny's, like... tooting his own horn when he's like, oh man, that was really funny. Like, what's that one line when he's leaving and he throws the boss's words back in his face where he's like, get out of here, Malone, like, you're not wanted, and make it 5 minutes, or if it's six, then just keep walking.
Yeah, right?
Doesn't work. And then he says something like, drinks are on me when you guys come to my club, and then he turns around and goes, I've always wanted to say that. Just so, like, what, flatly, and like a child wrote it.
Like,
so bad.
What is this guy thinking of? Like, this thing that, like, I've always, and the way he said, I always wanted to say that. And it's just like, what was any of that scene? It looks like he improv the whole thing and everybody was like, all right, it's late, end of the day. I guess we'll keep that take. It was awful, but we'll keep it going. And the thing I noticed as well, when this is kind of off topic slightly, like when Olivia and Jean talk together, you can kind of tell that there's some symmetry in knowing that they're actually doing well. And then Sonny comes in. He's like that unwanted friend you don't want there. And he walks in and he just ruins it. And they're just looking at each other going like, okay, he's back. Oh my gosh, yeah. The scene where they're both dancing together after the animation, and Gene Kelly's like, only certain people in their lifetime get to be in love like that. And I remember you and I were like, oh, that's cap, bro. That's so not true.
It's bad.
It's so not true.
It's uncomfortable, too, because Gene Kelly's character, Danny, has a love affair with Olivia Newton-John when they're young.
Yes.
Or at least a fascination with her. And they do, like, a little dance. And they were on, like, an album together. Because he played clarinet in a jazz band.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually got good enough to open up his own jazz club. So they have a connection. And every time they talk, like, immediately when Olivia Newton-John shows up as Kira, he's like, hey, I know you. And she's like, no, I don't think you do. And he's like, okay, sure. So they don't really interact for the rest of the thing. But every time they lock eyes, there's, like, this element of, like, this flirtatious, like, charm that they both have. That is just so sad whenever Sonny boisterously comes in and is just like, what are you doing here? Like, and it runs the entire scene.
Right, right.
Like, even in scenes between, because Sonny and Danny are supposed to be friends. So, they're in a lot of scenes together, and it's really sad, because, obviously, Gene Kelly has so much charm, and he's just, like, elevating this writing. Every line he says is a joy. He has this little twinkle. He's playing this sort of, like, past his prime musician, jazz club owner, lucky rich guy, like, leisure retiree, in, like, such a perfect way, where, like, there's a lot of complexity to it, right? Like, he kind of has, like, deep down this sort of sadness that he didn't pursue his art and that he never got the girl. But at the same time, like, he loves the fact that he's wealthy and he's happy that he doesn't have to work anymore. And it's just kind of enjoying the last years of life that he has in to the fullest that he can. And he loves life. So he has this charming beauty to him that comes across in every scene that he's in. And every time he talks to Sonny or Kira or anyone, he has this sparkle and this joy that just comes through in such a big way. And then you pair him up with Sonny, and Sonny is just a black hole. He's nothing.
He's nothing. And you think it's going to get somehow better from scene to scene, but somehow it just does not, man. It just does not. And I think what frustrates me is that, like, what my original question I was going to ask you is, take Sonny, the actor, out of it, insert somebody better, you could say whoever names, does that make this movie a good, maybe even a great movie in your eyes?
Honestly, I think it would take more than Sonny being deleted to make this a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely elevates it 100%. Because I think at the end of the day, you are still struggling with a very mediocre script.
Oh, yeah.
Directionally, even if Sonny was better in some capacity, the issue is that his character isn't that well written to begin with. And the fact that the actor who's playing him obviously doesn't know what he's doing with the character, which, I mean, I wouldn't know what to do with that character either.
Right.
Just makes it even worse. But I feel like you'd have to rewrite Sonny's character from the ground up to make this a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think even just if you kept the script exactly the same, every scene's exactly the same, but you replace Sonny with an actor who actually, like, had some kind of charisma and could make me believe in his humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it'd be better. Maybe not amazing, but definitely better.
Right. I'm just not as inspired as I think they were trying to make it out to be. I think it was supposed to be like, inspire artists everywhere. Like, this can be your dream too. And I feel that slightly just because I like Gene Kelly and obviously he'll inspire me in some way. But as the movie portrays it, nothing is really inspiring. To me, it gets lost because the love interest, which they try to focus on, isn't too great. So you kind of lose me there. And like you said, the dialogue isn't really there. So a lot of things that I really like is quite entertaining. A lot of the show numbers are very in your face. Just boom, here it is. You know what I mean? And flashing lights and stuff like that. So that's something that I enjoy. And obviously, like we talked about, the music's really good. But yeah, I think when it's not human, and I think some of that's Sonny, but a lot of it, I feel like, could have been capitalized in the sense of the humanity that is within art, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some of the dialogue, like you were saying, and some of just the direction that they're going kind of loses the mysticalness of what art is in speaking it, you know, like, because they show it in how it looks and that's so cool, but like in the importance of what art is to each character, I think they could have expanded on that a little bit more.
No, I think that that's true, because the concept itself is actually quite interesting. It's sort of this idea that muses, these magical mythical beings that show up to inspire artists, are real. And there seems to be a certain level of, like, what needs to be created, because it's Kira's idea to create a roller disco. And it just so happens that that coincides with Danny's dream to build another nightclub. And Sonny's also there. But, like, things need to exist, so a muse comes down and inspires them to do it. And also it plays on a lot of, like, what the ancient Greeks sort of built muses to be. They conceptualized an artistic muse as a woman because she's sort of attractive and all-encompassing and sort of takes over your life for a brief period of time before she, like, before what you guys are doing together is complete, and then she flies away again and you have to try to catch her to, like, make something else that's beautiful. So, you know, and I think that that makes a lot of sense, and I feel like this movie, with when it's like Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John, kind of plays around with that concept. Like, you know, he fell in love with the idea of art, again, sort of represented by Olivia Newton-John. And when she left him, he went into business because he expected her to come back. He expected that feeling and that desire to make art to come back. And when it didn't, he felt kind of devastated, but he moved on. And I think that that's kind of, like, if you played on more of that meta, like, where she's a woman, but she's also not a woman, it's far more interesting than, like, the direction that the movie chooses to go, where she's a magical woman, but in reality, she's just a woman to Sonny. Like, they never play around with the idea that she's also a supernatural being like they do with Gene Kelly.
Yeah.
Which, again, is far more interesting to kind of, like, talk about. Like, what is art and what is artistic inspiration? And can you create without artistic inspiration? And what does that mean? And if you give up because you don't have artistic inspiration, and, like, should you feel bad about that? Like, does it degrade your life at all? And then if it shows back up later, like, a better movie is honestly Gene Kelly's character, Danny's, under, like, realization that all of a sudden, late in life, he has one more bout of inspiration and him choosing to go for it. And what that means, because partly he's sad because he spent his entire life either ignoring or not chasing or not having this artistic inspiration, and now suddenly at age 68, it all comes flooding back to him, and all of a sudden right in front of him is this idea, and him out there and actually, like, trying to make it happen is a far more interesting story, whether there's a woman or not a woman in it, you know?
Right. It would have been interesting too, just thinking about, you can still have the let's just scrap Sonny. I'm getting rid of Sonny. Sonny's done. There's nothing that he has. What I'm saying, like you were saying exactly, is Gene Kelly's character, let's say we'll keep the same backstory. He's got his jazz club, but he changes it, wants to, and you could play off more of the fact maybe he just wanted to be greedy in pursuing his business and stuff like that. Like, you got to play off something of a loss, because to me it's not, because he's successful and you know he's not a bad guy. But if there's a sense that he lost his way, in the sense that maybe he just got more selfish, more greedy, wanted material things, and now he wants to go back into more art. Now, just giving him a redemption even further than what they had could be really good. And you could still have Olivia Newton-John.
Well, but I like what he says about it in that part where Sonny, or he's talking to Sonny about how what happened between him and his Kira was she left, but he never chased her. I think that that's a fascinating concept. So his artistic inspiration, the person that he was creating everything for, that inspired him, that kept the juices flowing, she's all of a sudden gone. So instead of buckling down and trying harder, or even trying to chase her, like going around the world to go look for her to create again that same magic, he just gives up. Right. He's like, well, it'll either come back to me at some point or it's not coming back at all. Right. And then over time, he just doesn't try. And right. I honestly like that better than him just, like, I don't know, like, the greediness makes a lot of sense, but I feel like that's a unique concept for a film. It's not like he got blindsided by something. It's just that his artistic inspiration disappeared one day. And instead of being a true artist and trying to find it at any and all cost, he just kind of sat back and went, well, I don't know, I'm a successful guy, like, I'm all right. Like, if it comes back to me, that's fine. But then later in life, he starts to regret the fact that he never chased her.
Right, right. And honestly, I want a sense of, like, they don't even need to have a love interest. They just need to, like, it would have been so cool to see them have a compatibility and a chemistry towards maybe both their loves of what art is.
Well, and here's the thing, too. So when you're young, a muse, that first spark that you feel of inspiration, where your brain suddenly turns on and it lights up and it's like something has entered it that was almost foreign to it. And it's all of a sudden like, wow, I just got this idea. And like, I have to create it, right? Like, that's the youth of inspiration. That's what the ancient Greeks were talking about when they made the muses women. Right. It's like the intensity of a first love.
Yes. And
you adore this idea. You adore this feeling. It's like dating someone. It's like loving someone. It's like being with someone. It's like that first kiss, you know? Like, that's why Kira kisses Sonny the first time that she meets him. It's like that initial, boom, that's the spark.
Right, right.
So the idea that Danny in his older age maybe doesn't see a muse as being like that first love anymore, because he's older, more mature, he's seen a lot. I think he understands, you know, like his initial desire for the club was for it to be a jazz club like it was in his youth. But he has the maturity to say, well, people have moved on, so let's create something that people of this generation will want while still remaining true to my artistic vision. I think shows a maturity and why he doesn't necessarily have to, like, have a quote-unquote romance with Olivia Newton-John, because now he more respects the muse more than he is, like, head over heels in love with her.
Yeah. Man, yeah, no, that's good. That's good. And honestly, just having those two in the same movie longer is what I was hoping for the whole time I was watching it.
Exactly. They, well, and you could honestly play off of that, like, the fact that it's been a long time since they met each other, and she kind of still has, like, maybe lingering feelings for him on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of still has sort of lingering feelings for her, but it's more like nostalgia for each other in a lot of ways. And she's coming back because she's looking at him and seeing, you know, someone that she wishes didn't give up. So she's kind of giving him one last chance, like bending the rules a little bit of her own volition to kind of like push him into that final chance. And then he actually takes her up on it. And they build this club together because they both have a love for art. And they, even though they're no longer like quote unquote lovers, but they have like a mutual respect for art. And he appreciates the fact that she wants to give him a second chance. And she kind of loves him enough as an artist and as a person to like maybe even go against Zeus to help him create this final thing.
Right.
Which could have been a more interesting movie.
Right. And I think in some sense, too, because, you know, as artists, unless you're super successful, you don't make a lot of money. I think I revised what I was saying. Maybe in his efforts to maybe prove some old demons wrong about, like, I need to be financially stable in a way, I think that sacrifice in a way maybe drained a lot of his inspiration. But now it would be cool to see Gene Kelly's character have a compromise now where he's like, okay, well, now I have the financial resources, great, but now I can put these two things together and make something beautiful, where maybe he was thinking I can only choose one thing or the other. And I think in a way that muse just brings back the inspiration. But what I mean by that is, like, the movie needs some humanity, it needs some relatability. And I feel like that aspect of Gene Kelly realizing, look, like, I can still be successful in both parts that I love. Because you know that him building stuff is not something that he didn't like to do. I just think maybe his motivation from the beginning could have been better, you know? But now, like you're saying, his redemption is now living life with a passion instead of just being it only for pursuit.
I think that that makes a lot of sense, yeah. And you could kind of play that, like, in both, like, in a bunch of other ways. Like, it has a double meaning then. There's a meta there. It's sort of about, in a sense, old friends slash lovers reconnecting after a long time and, like, kind of appreciating each other, learning about each other again, and understanding, like, where the people are at. But then at the same time, you kind of have the meta of, like, an artist later in life maybe compromising a little bit to sort of get their ideas out there, or even just trying to be creative in a way that makes sense with the world around them, which it could be kind of an interesting concept.
Right. And going back to Sonny, even though we completely just kicked him out of this movie, a great compromise there would have been him still staying with his job at the end and realizing, hey, look, here's a sacrifice. I love art. I don't necessarily love what I get to do, but maybe I can promote people's music at this club now. And I have now people see my art all the time. Like, my name is on these promotional pictures that are now in Gene Kelly's awesome, famous nightclub now. So at least he gets a redemption with, obviously, some of his friends. He just kind of just goes, meh. But I feel like that could be in a way for him to rekindle the fact that, like, he needs money too, and that job necessarily wasn't as bad as obviously he made it out to be. So that's another angle you could go down a little bit, you know?
Yeah. No, actually, I think that Sonny is kind of like a... like, the idea of him isn't really that bad, because we're talking about balance. We're talking about balancing sort of, like, financial stability with your ability to create what you want to create, to be inspired by a muse and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And sort of like his character, like where you think it should be going, because he can't quite exist by himself, either because no one's buying his stuff or because he hates his own work or whatever. He can't support himself.
Right.
But then also he hates making just what other people want him to make.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of him finding a third ground where, like, he's making what people want. He's sort of inspired by external sources other than himself, which apparently was failing him. But at the same time, he doesn't just have to painfully recreate what someone else has made. Like, something that you feel like should be part of his character growth, where he realizes that that's what he's been searching for the whole time, and it's good for him, but instead he's just focused on Kira, which again kind of messes up the meta, because Kira isn't really a person. She's an idea more than she's a person.
Yeah, right, right.
But the movie seems to kind of want to have it both ways, I guess, where...
Yeah.
I understand, because you want that love story of, like, oh, I was a muse, but then you were so special that I fell in love with you, and...
Right.
It doesn't make any sense because it's Sunny, but also it, in my opinion, it kind of ruins what you could take from it, again, in more of a meta space.
Yeah, no, I do. And honestly, you think about it in so many ways. Telling a movie from the perspective of love outside of the romance is not a bad thing to teach people. Because love takes so many forms just outside of the typical Hollywood romance. And with Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John's characters, kind of just love for each other and love to help each other is progressive in a good sense. I think that's not a bad thing to tell people. Like, hey, look, like, you can love somebody and want to help them, but it doesn't need to be romantical, obviously, because the age gap is pretty big, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, the age gap is really big, and also, like, she is immortal.
Yeah, you know? that's a big problem.
I don't know what you want. Like, she doesn't exist like people do, I guess.
No.
Well, yeah, and I think that in a lot of ways, like, you could make a better movie if you just axed that whole subplot where she falls in love randomly with Sunny for having no personality and no redeemable features. And instead, you keep Sunny in, but he's played by somebody else who has charisma and is young, like, very young.
Yeah.
And he falls in love with Olivia Newton-John while she's trying to convince him to open up this club because it's good for him.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe have him be like an artist, yes, but maybe have him be more interested in design than just straight up art.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he has like this conceptual eye for like design of a space, and it's kind of what he wants. So her leading him towards this roller rink is kind of the best of both worlds, because she's both helping Gene Kelly, who she, you know, has always respected. She's giving him a second chance while also leading young Sunny, who's just a kid, into maybe like a creative space that he can do, instead of like painting things that he doesn't like, you know, or living at this job that he doesn't find fulfilling.
Right, right.
And that could be kind of the character arc, would be instead of Sunny falling in love with this chick and making her his entire identity, which we've already discussed is toxic, having him falling head over heels with her and having her sort of gently lead him towards actually embracing his own dream of design and creating and managing his own space in an artistic way so that he can fulfill that side of him.
Right, right. It'd be cool if they didn't fall in love and they kind of realized that, like, hey, look, we actually don't have chemistry and this isn't quite working, but it doesn't mean that, like, I don't, like, love you and I don't see this as this moment of us pursuing our artistic thing is not good. You know, like, it's just like the love part kind of gets in the way a little bit. I kind of like that.
Yeah, no, and I think that's what should happen, you know. I think there should be initial love, because I think all artists initially fall in love with their first inspiration, with their ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then her sort of, like, gently making him understand that it's not falling in love with the inspiration, it's not falling in love with the muse, it's falling in love with the actual creation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, falling in love with a muse is what got Gene Kelly into his issues.
Yes, yes.
Because he fell in love with her, and after she was gone, he gave up.
Ah, Right, right.
But what he should have been in love with was his club. It should have been the music. It should have been the art.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his creation should have carried him forward. And instead, the minute that, like, that set spark, that, like, dopamine disappeared, once she was gone from his mind, he gave up completely. He was like, I'm done. And I think that's the parallel between him and Sonny. And that's what he keeps trying to tell Sonny throughout the movie, which does not come across because Sonny's not a character. But what should be happening is every time that Gene Kelly finds him is he's like, you know, you gotta believe in your dreams. You have to believe in creation. You have to get over this girl. You have to get over this love of the feeling of wanting to create and actually just create.
Yes, I agree. Because at the end of the day, like, Olivia Newton-John's character should not turn into a human. It's just, like, that's so against what she's even created to do.
Well, it's against what she's created to do, and it's against the idea of the movie. Like, her right. becoming a person doesn't solve any of the issues that have been introduced by the movie.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I'm all for love. I'm all for that. That's great. But the whole reason she's there, she essentially fails if she falls in love with Sonny. She failed.
Well, I mean, yes, because he sucks.
Well, yeah.
But I understand what you're saying.
But not, yeah, like, well, he sucks, but, like, that's one problem. But two, it's like, is she supposed to help Gene Kelly, or is she supposed to help Sonny, or both?
I think she's helping both of them.
Okay. Well, she helped one person. Her true love.
Her true love, Gene Kelly. Everyone's true love.
Oh, he's so great.
I know, he's
Yeah, and I think that's the issue, because if Sonny was such a catch and you just loved him and you're like, please make this work, please somehow, you believe that in your being, you go against everything that Zeus wanted it to be, sure. And you kind of believed Olivia meant it when she loved Sonny forever, then yes, you could ship them, and Gene Kelly's character could be like, look, you have to make some compromises here, like, you have to love what you do, right? But, like, make sure that you don't make your girl the world, because anything can happen. So continue to do your art and find love in your heart for somebody, but don't choose one over the other. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what a healthy human being does. Like, you're still your person. You love to do what you love to do, and you still can love another human being romantically, but it gets toxic as soon as you go, nope, it's 100% all eggs in that basket. Boom.
Well, and that's how the movie ends, is it's 100%, because he's not happy until she comes back into his life, which, on the one hand, like, sure, when you love somebody, it's difficult, but you never get to see their relationship being anything healthy. It's just them looking at each other and being like, I love you.
Yeah. It sucks is because Sonny falls into the trap that basically Gene Kelly is telling him not to do.
Gene Kelly is basically there being like, I fell into this trap and that's why I suffered during my life. Like, not financially, obviously, but, like, in my heart. And he's just like, yep, I'm gonna do it again. It's ridiculous.
He's basically like, look, old man, I'm gonna do what you did, but do it twice as hard. And look, she's mine forever. You know, it's just like,
he's mine forever.
He's just like trying to one-up him and just doing a bad idea.
Essentially, yeah, and, like, being like, well, it didn't work for you because, like, she didn't love you like she loved me. And it just, yeah. It's so depressing because he is way more of a catch than Sonny is by, like, 5,000 miles.
It's really insane. And, you know, and that's just the crux of it all. It's just, it's so hard to believe in something like their romance because Sonny just sucks, man. He just sucks.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, Sonny has no personality. He doesn't say anything with any emotion. He doesn't have any dreams or redeeming qualities. Like, he throws temper tantrums every time that something doesn't go his way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, well, why would a, you know, whatever, 3,000-year-old Greek muse ever be into that? Like, why?
I don't know.
Why would she be into that?
Why would his mom, bro, why did her mom do that to her, bro? She should have been like, yeah, this guy is sus as a bus, bro.
Yeah, like, dude. Like, don't. I blink twice if you need help.
Yeah. And she's like, well, we fell in love. And the dad's like, do you see this guy?
Yeah, have you looked at him lately? Like, it's sucks, like, dude.
Yeah, his impression was less than zero. I love her. It's like...
Have better taste, idiot.
Who's at, The Room? Like, what's that guy's name? Tommy Wiseau?
Oh, yeah, Tommy Wiseau, yeah.
Yeah, Tommy Wiseau. Bro, he has more chemistry than Sonny does, and that's unbelievable.
Oh, 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. Actually, yes, because he actually has something that we like to call emotion, isn't it?
Sonny has none of. It's...
I mean, sure, all of Tommy Wiseau's emotions are anger, I think, for the most part, but, like, yeah. Hey, it's an emotion, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. Sonny is literally the definition of just monotone death, just nothing in his soul. He's soulless. He has no soul.
There's nothing there. It's really sad, too, because you know what he reminds me a lot of? Reminds me a lot of those, like, high school boys who get girlfriends, like, their first girlfriend at, like, 15. Yeah. Like, a little later than some people, but, like, you know, still early enough.
You're right.
And then that's just their entire thing, and they're just like, well, me and my girlfriend are gonna go watch a movie together. Like, we're gonna do that together. And they're like, well, okay, well, I guess I'll see you around or whatever. And they're like, I don't know, like, maybe, but I'm hanging out with my girlfriend.
You gotta understand that she's my world now. If you can't understand that, are we even friends? That's like his tone the whole time.
Yeah, exactly, the whole time. And then, like, within 2 months they break up because that's not how you base a relationship.
No, and it sucks with Sonny too, is because Sonny, Jinko is like, wasn't this our dream? And Sonny's like, no, it wasn't our dream. My dream was her. And Jinko's like,
yeah.
Well, okay, if that's your dream, I guess go chase it, I guess, if that makes you happy. Gene Kelly's like, I have nothing for you. If that's what you want, go for it. But I'm tired of your just complaining all day.
Well, that's essentially how Gene Kelly ends it, is he just sort of gives up. He's just like, all right, I tried my best. Have fun.
I'm going to go roller skate in my new place. Cha-ching, bada-bing.
Yeah, dude. I'm living my best life. And if you can't do that, then that's on you.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's sad. It's like Sonny doesn't deserve the girl at the end because there's no part of him that exists outside of just wanting her. And that's not people. That's not good people. That's like toxic people.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm all for it, dude, bro. Sorry, I was going to say, I'm all for a good romance.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, if this was a good romance.
Yeah, right. But it's not.
It's not. No, it's not.
Yeah. So, man, again, music's killer.
Music is so good.
I'm all for the 80s aesthetic that's really in right now. So that's something to behold, you know. And Gene Kelly at 68 years old, man, came out there and did his thing knowing it was garbage, and he still went out there and gave his best. That's commendable.
He really did know it was garbage, didn't he?
I think you could tell after the first scene he was with Sonny, he's like, oh no.
Yeah, look up Whenever You're Away From Me, the song between Olivia Newton-John and Gene Kelly, especially on the video, so you can watch them dance together. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
Like 5,000,000% better than the movie. Honestly, like, pick out any one of the songs from this movie and watch it on YouTube or whatever, because it is, I mean, obviously, Don't Walk Away has the amazing Don Bluth animations in it. And then you have All Over the World, which is just like this bizarre fever dream of Gene Kelly getting dressed up in random outfits.
Do you notice that Sonny doesn't sing a single song and doesn't do a single dance number? The only thing he slightly dances in, they skate around a little bit, but nothing crazy. Like, he can't do anything either. That's the worst part about it.
Well, that was the thing, too. It's like, they only hired him for his looks.
Which are decent at best.
They're fine. I don't know. I mean, if that's, like, your type, I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Sure. Skinny rollerblading dudes who complain? Sure.
He just complains all the time. That's the thing, though. It wouldn't even matter. Like, it wouldn't even matter if he was, like, the most gorgeous guy on earth. Like, there's only so long that you can listen to someone whine about having a job.
A respectable job that's not asking too much for him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the guy is not asking too much.
It'd be even different if, like, they put him in, like, an office job, right? Like,
yeah.
If he had, like, just been, like, sitting there, like, clacking around on a typewriter all day or a computer, an old giant computer or whatever, and he had, like, feed, like, those little, like, punch cards into it, and he was like, I hate this. Like, I can't even practice my art here. Like, my life sucks. Like, that would be, sure, whatever. I would sympathize more with that. And he chooses to go back to that job.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah. He keeps on choosing it. He keeps on choosing it. Like, he needed to just pursue something else and just go for it. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, that's the thing. It's like, he doesn't have anything that he wants to pursue. He has no... Right? Because he needs a muse, right? He has no dreams. But at the same time, he can't even be happy just, like, living his day-to-day. Or at least content. Like, at least sit there and go, well, I would love to pursue my artistic career in all of its just glory and go straight off the grid or whatever, but I can't because I don't have any inspiration. No, he's just mad at the fact that he has this job. And the job took him back willingly after he quit to go pursue his dreams and it didn't work out, and he's still mad at this job. Like, get a different job, you idiot. Like, if you hate this job so much, go move boxes or something. I don't care. Just... You have to eat to live, and if you're not going to live off your art because you tear it up every time, and if you can't work doing art, even though it's not your art and so you hate it, I don't know, move boxes. You gotta eat, or be homeless. Like, just go out on the streets and beg for money, because apparently you can't do anything. Like, it's so ridiculous.
Sonny sucks!
He sucks! I hate him.
He sucks. He's the worst part about this movie. He's a soulless man who complains about everything, rips up his perfectly good art for no reason. We don't even say, he doesn't even tell us why. He's like, well, I just, whatever.
Dude, they could have, like, completely, like, made us sympathize with this character, like, 1,000% more by just, like, having him sit on a street corner peddling his art and someone's like, that's trash. That's all you needed. And I'd be like, okay, well, at least I can tell that, like, he's tried something. But he never tries anything. No. It just sucks.
And he basically, think about it, he quits his job with art, doesn't really help Gene Kelly at all besides, like, basically being a person in existence,
mm-hmm.
then complains his way to getting this girl he should have never gotten in the first place. Now she's basically there to basically do whatever he wants, and basically Sonny's character is telling you, complain your way to the top. That's all you gotta do.
Basically. Complain. Yeah, don't work. Just complain all the time.
You'll get your way eventually.
Because good thing. Yeah, eventually people will just try to shut you up by giving you what you want.
He's a crybaby. He's a bleep and bleep and bleep.
Bleep and bleep, bleep and bleep. He's like probably like one of the worst characters in fiction. Like, let's just be honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. He's worse than I remember.
Like, name any other character and he's probably still the worst character because he only gets good things even though he doesn't, there's no deserving it. Like, what does she see in him? I think that's the most egregious, the worst part of this movie. Bingo. Is the fact that she keeps saying, I love him. And it's like, name one thing about him that you love.
She can't. She's capping so hard, bro. She can't. There's no way.
Yeah, there's something there.
There's no way. Yeah. That's all I have to say. I said my piece. I said my piece with Sonny. All right. Said it.
we probably just, like, I mean, this entire podcast was just going to be us ripping on Sonny. I mean, that's really it.
Well deserved.
But yeah, no, I really do think that at the end of the day, music is great. Keep all the music.
Mm-hmm.
What I think that they should have done in the movie is have more flashbacks to Gene and Olivia Newton-John when they were in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
and did a lot more of the love scenes with them, like, have suddenly be the two of them mm-hmm. in the 40s, like, dancing around each other, and same with Don't Walk Away. Like, have it be their sort of failed romance going on in the flashbacks, mm-hmm. and, like, kind of show that there is still, in a weird way, some kind of longing and nostalgia there, but they both kind of have moved on.
Right.
And then have Sunny be the one who's, like, hitting on Olivia Newton-John left and right, but she's just kind of, like, trying to focus him on actually pursuing his dreams, and same with Gene Kelly, who's, like, coming alongside him and mentoring him to do that. And then at the end, both Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John come to an understanding with each other, where they're just sort of, like, this is what's best for both of us, and now I'm gonna leave. And then have Sonny, like, fully embrace the fact that he has attained his dream. He designed this beautiful roller rink park, and he wants to manage it, and he wants to do it as much as he can before maybe moving on to other projects, who knows. And he's set up for life, and Gene Kelly gets a second chance at his nightclub, and Olivia Newton-John is off doing her own thing again.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. This is kind of a cool fact that I just learned while I was looking this up. I was indeed alive while Gene Kelly was still around.
Oh. Well, there you go.
That makes me happy. All right. That's
the other. One more thing before we go. I wanted to say, mm-hmm. I would have loved if it was Olivia Newton-John's character, Kira, having the confrontation with Zeus about helping out Gene Kelly because she shouldn't have done. And we just leave Sunny out of it entirely. Like, have her, brilliant. Have Zeus summon her up there and be like, hey, you already like inspired this guy and he didn't take it and that's on him and you need to go inspire someone else. And she's like, I freaking am, but I also am helping out this guy because I think he's got potential. And all of her sisters are like, amen. And they actually get a speaking role and they're like, they rally around her and it's all of them who tell Zeus off. Yes. Girl power.
Yeah, bingo. Girl power, baby. Strut that stuff.
Like, that is it. That's the girls it. Needed their own moment. They where did. They were just like, nope, we inspire who we inspire. And this guy has potential and we love him.
Cha-ching.
Because he's Gene Kelly.
Cha-ching, bada bing. Love it.
All right.
Well,
that's Xanadu.
Yes. Xanadu.
Ba, 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 ba.
Xanadu. That's all I gotta say.
That's right.
All right, that's a wrap.
We never know how to begin or end these.